All right, well, it's good to see everybody. We are starting Christmas season, and I know everybody's got a million things going, and I just want to, this is a public service announcement, all right? I want to ask all of us to make sure that this Christmas we don't go spend money we don't have on stuff we're not going to remember in a few months. Can we just do that this year? You know, we have a tendency to spend money and then forget what we even spent it on for the holidays. You know, we want to buy gifts and we want to make everybody happy. And I just want to let you off the hook this Christmas season. You are not the one that is supposed to make everybody's dreams come true in your life, all right? It's okay if you say, I don't have the money and I am not going to Visa that this year. I'm not going to MasterCard it. I'm not going to Discover it. I'm just going to let it go, all right? We're just going to let it go. We're going to buy something smaller. As a matter of fact, we drew you this beautiful picture, kids. Here you go. It's going to go in your room. It'll be all right, I promise. Do you know anybody that grew up poor? They turned out okay. I mean, look at us all. We're okay. Everybody made it. You didn't get everything you wanted. Don't feel the pressure of making Christmas look like the movies. The people on the movies didn't buy the presents around the Christmas tree, all right? It's okay. It's okay. What if this Christmas we said, we're just going to do this a little differently? And I think it's a spiritual thing, all right? It's not about, we're never going to find joy in gifts. We're not, because we don't even remember what we got last year for Christmas. So that just proves to us that it's just temporary. And it's over, but there's some spiritual principles involved that we handle our finances the way God wants us to, and we're generous with our money, but we're not wasteful, and it's important to be good stewards and be good givers, and we need to figure out how to do that in balance according to God's word. And I just encourage you, have the conversation with your kids if that's necessary. And listen, if you don't have money talks with your kids, I encourage you to talk to them. We told our kids when we were broke, we're like, we're not buying anything today. That's just the way it is. And then it got to a point where they were like, you know, they'd want something and they would say, we don't have the money, do we? I was like, no, we got the money. We're just not buying it. All right. But we tried to be honest with them and say, you know, this is how much money we have. This is how much house payments are. And this is how much car payments are. And so that they didn't get to adulthood and go, what in the world? And just be honest. It's okay if you're not a millionaire. It's okay if you tell your kids you don't have the money. It's perfectly okay. As long as you're giving them peace and you assure them that things are going to be okay, it's all right. So that little bit of advice is very free, all right? It won't cost you a thing. But I hope you'll take this Christmas seriously and make sure that we do this the right way. Okay, I want to share a message. We're starting a Christmas series today, and we're going to simply call it Christmas is Here. And Christmas is here on lots of fronts. I know your schedule and your finances are going to show it, all of that. But then we got to make sure that we keep the main thing. And that we know the reason for the season, and we grow through Christmas, and we don't just survive it. And so that's what this is going to be about. And I want to start with this. We read about the shepherds, and that's actually what our message is going to be about today. The shepherds, when they heard about Jesus, they left that night to go and find Jesus. And the wise men, we don't really know when the wise men showed up. Some people say it could have been as early as just a few days later, and some people say it could have been a couple of years later. But those were the three wise men. And I love what one lady said. She said if that had been three wise women, they would have stopped and asked for directions, arrived on time, delivered that baby, cleaned up the stable, cooked the casserole, and bought disposable diapers too. And I don't doubt that one bit that you ladies would have gotten that right. And those wise men were somewhere out there. We don't even know where they were. But they eventually got to the right place. So I want to start with this one simple statement. The gospel is not good advice. It's good news. The Bible is not just about good advice. It's the good news. Now, most stories and fairy tales start off with once upon a time. or maybe for you Star Wars folks, you know, in a galaxy far, far away. It's imaginary, and that's great. But Christianity, the most important feature of Christianity is that it's true. It really happened in time and space and history. It's not just a beautiful story. It actually took place. It's a core of Christianity that it really happened. That we're not talking about something that once upon a time or in a galaxy far, far away. We're talking about actual events that took place. And so sometimes we have this tendency to boil Christianity down to a set of principles, like some things we think Jesus wants us to do or he's told us to do. And here's what we need to get. Most religions, when you peel back the layers, are built on teachings and principles that really would be true whether they were in that religion or not. They're just good things to live by. And they've been sort of cased in a shell of religion. And so we could say, being a good steward of your money. I mean, Jesus told us to do that, right? But that'd be good no matter what religion you were in. That'd be something smart to do. But Jesus took it further than that. This is not true in Christianity. It's not just about good advice that he gives us that will make our life better. He gives us good news. Christianity depends on a set of events that actually took place. The core of Christianity is not what Jesus taught us to do, but what Jesus would do for you and me. Okay? What he taught us to do is very important. But it's more important that we understand what he did for us. Scholars say that if we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that they basically dealt with the 33 years of Jesus' life, and they told about him from birth, and they told about his teachings at the end of his life, but they primarily focused on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. All of the story of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is getting us to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. The central element of those gospels is that Jesus came to die for you and me. Now, the gospel contains lots of stuff that Jesus taught, but the focus again of the gospels is not on what Jesus taught, but on what he did. What did Jesus do? That's why the gospel's not primarily good advice, but it's good news. Now, we have this tendency to not like it when people give us advice. I mean, just give me some room here, all right? Sometimes when your boss walks in and he says, I want you to do it this way, you're like, okay, all right. And they leave and you're like, that dumb so-and-so, I've been doing this job. I know how to do this job. We don't like advice. We especially don't like advice outside of a relationship. If somebody just walks up to you that you don't know and they start giving you advice, you're like, who in the world do you think you are? I mean, we'll fight right here. I don't have to listen to this. That's our feeling. Hopefully we don't do it and take it any further. But we have this tendency to not like advice. And so the Bible is not giving us a bunch of good advice. Now, it does give us good, but the focus is not on the advice. The focus is on the news. He's telling us some good news, all right? So the word, you know that the New Testament was written mainly in Greek. It'd be awesome if it was just written in English, and that would have been especially Texas English, right? Some y'alls in there and stuff. But it wasn't. It was written in Greek. And so we get to go back and look at what some of those words mean. And the word good news is very important to the New Testament. It's the word euangelo. Okay, so he is saying to us, it's two words put together, good, you, angelino, which means message. He said this is the good message. The good news is coming to you. He didn't say good advice. He said the good news is coming to you. Now imagine this. If you had let's just say the Greek army was in a battle. and the general was losing, and he sent out a message. He's like, hey, you guys go get some help. Tell them we need some help. When that person arrived and said, hey, will you come and help us, that would not be good news. But if the general won the battle, the army won the battle, and the people were free and all that good stuff, and then they sent someone out to tell their people, hey, we won the battle, that would be good news. That would be the moment that the good news showed up for them. Now here's what's important. If you're going to share this message, this good news message, somebody's got to be the word sharing it. Now, we just said angelino was the word. And so when that word was used, it meant that good news has been brought. Part of that word is the word angel. The angel is the one who comes. So you would say, if that messenger showed up, you would say, you're an angel. Now, if you're speaking Greek, you'd say a little different than that. But you would say, here he comes. If the messenger shows up and he's got a smile on his face, you go, something good. Say it, brother, say it. Tell us about this message. If he comes and his shoulders are slouching and he's sad, and you'd be like, just take that message on back wherever you brought it from. We don't need to hear that. I want to hear good news. And that's exactly what happens in the New Testament. The angels brought the good news to a group of people. Now, when we're looking deep into what Christianity is all about, the core of Christianity, again, I'm going to say this over and over, is not about the teachings that are to be followed, but the gift that is to be received. Now, if you accept Christ and you start walking with him, you're going to start obeying him. Things in your life are going to change. But we have this tendency, because we are living in a contract culture. Right? So if you go and buy a new car and you shake his hand and you say, I promise I'll make every payment on time. And he says, I appreciate that. Now sign right here 14 times. Your handshake doesn't mean that much. Right? Because he wants you to know all the stuff. Here's when the payment's due. This is how much it is. Here's where you need to send your payment to. If you don't send your payment, this is going to happen. And here's what gives you a whole list of stuff that you have to do. And we have this tendency to think in terms of lists. And the Bible, the good news, wants us to think in terms of relationship. He wants us to have a relationship with him, not just follow a bunch of good advice. We need more than good advice. You've been given good advice in your life and didn't listen to it. I've received good advice in my life and didn't listen to it. I remember telling my parents, I wish I had listened. I would be a millionaire today if I would have just listened to what you told me back then, but I knew everything. All right? And then as time goes on, you realize maybe that was good advice. Okay? But the advice in this case is not the most important thing. The most important thing is what Jesus did for us. Now, here's what I really love about this. It's a very simple story. It's not a hard story to tell. As a matter of fact, all the way back in 1965, Charlie Brown Christmas was put out. And that was back before Netflix for all you young folks. I mean, this was special. Now, Charles Schulz was the creator of Charlie Brown. If you don't know who Charlie Brown is, just hang with me. I'm going to show you in just a minute. All right? Charles Schulz was the creator of Charlie Brown. And he was a believer in Christ, and so he wanted to put the gospel message, the story, this good news, into the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And he was determined to get it in. And the producers of Charlie Brown Christmas said, no, we're not going to do that. You know, there are people that won't like that and stuff. And Charles Schulz basically said, I own Charlie Brown. If you want Charlie Brown, you're going to have to take Jesus too. All right, so he got it in there. And it's a beautiful little story. It's just wedged right into the Charlie Brown Christmas story. Now this is important. It was so simple. This message of the gospel, this good news, was so simple that Linus tells the story. Now, if you don't know who Linus is, let me introduce you to him. He's a fearful, little, timid, guy that carries a blanket with him everywhere he goes. He's way too old to be carrying a blanket with him. I mean, some of y'all did the same thing, right? Pacifiers till 8 years old, right? All right. He held this blanket everywhere he went, and he was fearful. And Charles Schulz decided Linus is the one. Linus doesn't seem very smart, but Charles Schulz says he's the one. This story is so simple that Linus can tell the story. Now, if you know the characters from Charlie Brown, thank goodness he didn't let Lucy tell the story. I mean, nobody would love Jesus if Lucy told the story. She was mean and angry all the time. Charlie Brown was always a little bit confused, too. But Linus just tells this story, so I want you to take a look.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
All right. Can we just give Linus a hand? Yeah. Yeah. It's not good advice. It's good news. Now, I want to read you this passage, and it's going to lead us into a passage that we're going to have on the screen in just a minute. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. I love the fact that what's about to happen was spoken to shepherds. These are blue-collar fellas. I love white-collar guys, but I like blue-collar guys that know how to swing a hammer. And these are the guys. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The shepherds were terrified. But then in verse 10, it says this, But the angel said to them, The angel, the messenger, we just talked about him. The angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, it's a beautiful story. Linus tells this story beautifully. It's so simple. The Christmas story really is all about the good news. So I want to tell you five reasons I think that Christmas is good news. And we're going to go through these pretty quickly. Number one, the good news removes fear. And the angel, the messenger, said to them, Do not be afraid. Fear is the most crippling of all human emotions. It keeps us from doing things that we know we should do. It keeps us from taking chances, taking risks. It paralyzes soldiers in the middle of battle, and it stops a young man from asking a young woman to go to the dance. And it keeps Christians from sharing their faith. 300 times in the Bible, over 300 times in the Bible says, Fear not. God must have known we were going to be scared of some stuff along the way. For him to say 300 times, fear not. Jesus was walking on the water and his disciples were afraid. And what was the first thing he said? Don't be afraid. First thing he said is fear not. Don't be afraid. 2 Timothy 1 says, For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God wants fear out of our lives, not in our lives. So the messenger comes to the shepherds and says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. 1 John 1 or 4 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Love casts out fear. Love casts out fear. So if love is casting out fear, what's replacing this fear with these shepherds? Love. Jesus came, sent this angel with good news of what was about to happen. The angel brought good news, not fear. Here's the second reason Christmas is good news. The good news brings joy. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Notice the Bible does not say happiness. Happiness comes and goes. You know, if you get what you want for Christmas, you get happy. If you don't get what you want, you get sad. That happiness arc is just crazy. It's up and down and up and down. It's all about the circumstances of our life. But the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. The Bible even goes so far as to tell that when Mary finds out that she is going to give birth to the baby Jesus, she goes to her older relative, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is an elderly woman at this point, but she, God has promised her a child, and she and her husband have not had a baby yet. But God tells Mary, after Mary finds out she's going to give birth to Jesus, she says, Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a baby too. Well, you know how it is when two ladies are about to have babies and one of them wasn't supposed to. They're going to get together and talk about it a little bit. And so Mary goes to Elizabeth's house. And the Bible says that when she walked in the house, that the baby within Elizabeth jumped for joy. That was John the Baptist. He would be the one that would go before Jesus. It didn't just say he jumped. It said he jumped for joy. And there's good news that will cause great joy. When you encounter Jesus, something just happens and it changes us. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. It's nine different things. It says love, joy, peace, patience. We could go on down the list. Joy is the number two on that list. Joy, the joy of the Lord. This good news that you can have joy in a world that is filled with everything but joy. All right? Here's the third reason that this is good news. The good news is for everybody, for everyone, all of us. Look at what it says. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It's good news for all of us. When I was a kid, we used to sing a little song. Listen, I'm gonna sing this little song, and you're going to have to clap at the end of it, okay? It went like this. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. There you go. Now you can clap. There you go. All right. Okay. That was the end of my singing career. You witnessed it. Red and yellow, black and white. It was just saying all the colors of the world. No matter what flavor you come in, you are one of those that Jesus came for. Amen? The fact that he didn't say you got to be a certain age or a certain gender or a certain height or a certain educational level. He said, whosoever will. Whosoever will. I like to say it like this. And for the ones who are still holding out the whosoever wants, it's still for you too. You might be stiff-arming God a little bit. He's waiting. He's got a plan. He loves you. He cares about you. I was just thinking about this earlier this morning of how when Jody and I came to the church many years ago, the first day we walked in the church, everybody in the church was white. Everybody. I mean, this is a white church. And I love it every Sunday when I walk around and there are people not just of different colors, I almost said different flavors. Different flavors and different colors. Different countries are represented right here every Sunday morning. It's for everyone. Whosoever will. Amen. Woo. The church ought to be an example to the world of what race relations looks like. That's enough of there, but we can talk about that one later. Here's number four, the reasons that Christmas is the good news. It's personal. The good news is personal. It was for everybody, but then it gets very personal very quick. Look what he says in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's talking to blue-collar shepherds. The messenger is talking to those blue-collar shepherds, and he said, a Savior has been born to you. If you and I had been the only person on earth, you or I had been the only people on earth, person on earth, Jesus would have still died for us. That's how personal this is. Salvation comes to individuals, and then we get to be a part of the family of God together. Revelation 3 and 20 says this, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. It's the picture of Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. Standing at the door, just knocking, saying, I'm out here. Whenever you open the door, I'll come in. I'll come in. And we'll just spend time together. We'll eat together. It's about relationship, right? You ever go eat a meal with somebody that you didn't have a good relationship with? It's weird and it's awkward. It's called a sales call. I know. This is weird for you and it's weird for me, but this is what we're supposed to do. But now if you call your friend and you go, hey, you want some tacos for lunch? And they say, yeah. Man, now that's fun. I'm all in on that. There's no awkwardness. If I'm a few minutes late, I don't have to be afraid they're going to be mad because we're friends. He said, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He didn't just say they're going to fix me a meal. He said, we're going to eat together. This is a real relationship. Several years ago, Jody and I were invited to somebody's house and they had not been in church very long and they were still, actually, they called me the priest, and I was like, I'm not a priest. It's not that kind of church. But they were trying to show some sort of reverence, and I was just like, oh, I just need you to be, just let's just talk. And they just set their meal in front of Jody and I, and they just sat and without eating, and they just wanted us to eat in front of them. And I kept saying, you get a plate too. Because I don't want to be in some spot of honor or reverence, but it was difficult. It was tough. Because they were trying so hard to be respectful and I just want to be treated like one of the fellas. That's not the kind of relationship Jesus is asking for here. He just wants a real relationship with you. Here's number five. The good news is about a Savior. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord, a Savior, a Deliverer. A preserver, that's what it means. A deliverer. If I was having a plumbing problem, I'd call a plumber. If I got a car problem, I'm calling a mechanic. Got an electrical problem, you call an electrician. If I've got an eternity problem and a sin problem, I need a Savior. I need to make sure I go to the right person. I need a Savior. And guess what? God sent a Savior. He sent Jesus. That's why I think it's good news. In just a minute, I'm going to show you that Charlie Brown clip again, but I'm going to show you something different this time. I want you to be looking for it. Linus was known for living his life fearfully. Everybody knew Linus was scared to death all the time. But when it came time for him to share the gospel, now he never laid that blanket down. Until he started to share the good news, he became the messenger that was going to share the good news. I want you to watch what happens when Linus starts telling the story. Take a look.
Isn't there anyone who knows what what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Yep, there you go.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
There you go. Now listen. When you first see that, you don't think about Linus's blanket lying on the ground. But he said, right when he said, and the angel of the Lord said, fear not, and he holds his hands up, and the blanket's gone. The earthly stuff, I know, I don't want to take it too far with Linus, okay? But the earthly stuff that he held on to deal with life no longer meant anything when he was telling the good news. I wonder if this holiday season we need to beware of holding on to earthly stuff and trying to get our peace and joy from that. Maybe we need to let go of some things. Maybe we need to let go or just be aware of what God is doing and accept the peace. You see, this good news is only good if you believe it, if you put your faith in Him. It's no good if you forget about it and move on. It was just an announcement. But if you believe, not just for salvation in the moment, but you believe going forward into the future every single day that this good news and this good Savior cares about me, loves me, has a plan for me, what will change in our life? Will we drop the blanket and tell the story? I got a feeling we will. If we believe the good news, stand up with me if you would. We're going to pray in just a minute. And we're going to pray very simply. If you don't know Jesus, if you're watching online this morning, or if you're here in the building, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you're ready to start that journey, we like to say it's as easy as ABC. You have to admit that you've sinned. That's the easy part. We've all messed up. We all know that. We've got to believe in Jesus, put our faith in Him and the good news, and then we confess Him as Lord of our life. Just say, God, You're in charge going forward. You're in charge. I'm tired of being in charge. It's not working. I'm surrendering it to You. I'm giving You first place. And start your journey with the Lord. He's knocking. He's waiting. He wants to open the door so He can come in. I encourage you this morning. It'll be the best decision you ever made. That's a guarantee. It's not a sales pitch. It's just a guarantee. The best decision you will ever make is to start your journey with the Lord today. So when we pray in just a minute, if you're at that place where you need to, where you're ready to surrender your life to God, just pray this prayer in your own way and let your relationship with God begin. Open the door for Him. Or maybe you're heading into Christmas this year. You've got a relationship with Jesus and you're just saying, I'm fearful. I don't have the joy. I don't feel like my relationship with God is personal. I'm trying, but I'm just not feeling it. I want us to ask God for a renewed sense of relationship with Him. Just a renewed sense of relationship. That we would know that the good news is still for us, and He is still the Savior. And we would let go of the things we shouldn't be carrying, and we would allow God to help us with those other things. So we're going to pray right now. And I'm just praying that this is a miracle moment for somebody. That moving forward, that it's no longer about just the good advice the Bible gives us, and it gives us a lot of that, but it's about the good news, and it's about what Jesus has done and wants to do in our lives. God, we thank you so much today. You've been so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, for the person who is ready to start a brand new relationship with you, I pray, Lord, that as they admit their sin and believe in you and confess you as Lord, that God, that relationship, as they open that door with you, God, that that relationship would begin and it would be strong. And Lord, that you would work in their lives like never before. You would do what only you can do. And we thank you for that right now. And God, we ask you to touch every person in the building and online who is living with even the smallest amount of fear or the smallest lack of joy. We pray, God, that good news, the good news that the angel, the messenger of God brought to the shepherds that night, Lord, that it would just come alive to us today. That relationship with you would motivate us, just like it motivated the shepherds to get up and go find Jesus. Lord, help us, God, to seek you. The Bible tells us when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you. Lord, help us to just go all in our relationship with you and trust you and allow you to do your work. And God, we thank you. We thank you for this Christmas season. And we know good things are in store. And we just want to honor you and put you first. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you, everybody. Amen.